This week's episode of the Better With Running podcast is proudly sponsored by the 2xU Wellness Run, which is proudly supporting Beyond Blue. It's been held in Melbourne's beautiful Kantani Gardens in St Kilda on Sunday, December the 5th. Running is a powerful tool to manage mental health and improve your wellness. So this December 5th, 2021, let's run 5, 10 or 21.1K and raise funds for Beyond Blue. Every dollar you raise helps to fund Beyond Blue's 24/7 support services. The course is flat and scenic. Each course features a closed beach road between Kerford Road and Glen Huntly Road, right alongside the iconic St Kilda palm trees and Luna Park, while taking in the fresh beach air before receiving your finisher's medal. You can sign up today online via the website www.wellnessrun.com.au.
Hey there, and welcome to episode 75 of the Better With Running podcast. My name is Matt Davey, and I'm a coach at Run to BB. Alongside me, as always, I'm joined by my fellow Run to BB coach and six-time marathoner, Zacha Newman. Welcome back to the show, mate.
G'day, Mattress. Yeah, great to be back on, mate. And big show to chat about. A couple of big training weeks going down, and the Melbourne Marathon gets closer. And mate, I also caught up with Jordan O'Neill from O2 Events and Zareen Sayed from Beyond Blue. So I had a chat to them about an exciting event that's coming up in December. So we'll throw to that a bit later, Mattress. So I know the Wellness Run, we've obviously been supporting it. Such a great cause. And had a good chance to chat to those two about the event. And it's really exciting that we're talking about events, after such a hiatus. And I know we're going to be talking about Melbourne Marathon build-up, but how good is it to have events back on the calendar, Mattress?
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, the events have been there, like, you know, Gold Coast was there, but it was the uncertainty around it. Whereas this time there's pretty much certainty. Whereas in the past there was a bit unsure whether they'll go ahead, but yeah, now really, really got a lot more confidence around it. And looking forward to the event sort of calendar, going through that events calendar that you sent through to us. Like, yeah, there's a lot popping up, and it's so good to see, and I can't wait to get out to some and compete and cheer on some Run to BB athletes.
Yeah, and I mean, we're obviously recording and we've been we're in Victoria, so we've obviously endured a pretty full on lockdown here in Melbourne. And other states have had their opportunities in some instances, not huge as much. I mean, even we've seen some stuff in South Australia get cancelled recently. So it's I think now with these events back on the calendar, everyone's keen to take the opportunities when they come up. And I think just even as a when you've been training for so long, to have that event, like, it just puts you at a pep in your step when you get out the door, knowing you've got that, like, kind of locked away. So yeah, it's great. And then, you know, Park Run shouldn't be too far off. I think they're waiting on 80%, I think, and then they'll get going again.
Oh, that's unreal.
Yeah.
And then we had our Freedom Day, Zacha, on Friday. Did you get out to Chapel Street and jump on some cars or anything, or?
Didn't jump on cars, but I was in, may have visited a pub and just supported the local economy. And it was nice to get out, and that first beer out of the tap's pretty amazing, Mattress.
How was it getting out? Because I mean, it's probably been for a long, at least maybe 3 months, maybe.
Yeah.
Gone out to a pub and had a beer out of the tap.
Good. Yeah, bloody really good. Seamless in terms of, I think there's been a bit of that, like, anxiety about, I'm going to do this, do that, show my passport, and, show the vaccine. And it's like, it was pretty damn easy, pretty quick. And they're all set up, ready to go. And I think everyone's just ready to get moving and
yeah,
get back to sort of some normality. How about you, Mattress? Did you manage to squeeze in a brunch over the weekend?
Yeah, we got out to cafe down in Mount Martha actually for some for a coffee and or what was it? It was a raspberry white choc muffin. It was delicious.
Yeah, nice.
Dense. I picked up, you know, when they put it in the bag and then, you know, like when you pick up a milk carton, you don't know how much milk's in it. And you pick it up expecting it to be empty and it's full and it like, you just about drop it. I did the same thing with the muffin. When I picked it up, I nearly dropped it. It was that heavy.
You still doing the weights or?
Not on the arms.
Maybe that's the issue.
Maybe if I was doing a hamstring curl or something with it, it would have been fine. The bicep curls have been lacking. Might have to wait till after Melbourne to get into the beach weights. That's what I think that's the plan.
But in saying that, looking into your week, a lot of running, a lot of K's in the legs. So take us through it, mate. If what are we now? 7 weeks?
Yeah, six, 7 weeks. Yeah, I think is it five.
Recording on Monday, so
yeah. I lost track.
Yeah.
It's 4 to 5 weeks and then about a 2 week.
You tend to think of those last two, you know, that's 2 week out, you know, that 90 minute or run that you might do on the Sunday,
the week before.
The week before, yeah. So it's almost getting to the point where we start to, you know, in a few weeks' time, we'll be talking about maybe, you know, four Sunday, solid Sunday runs and then we're into it.
So, that's what I've been trying to count down that way. Just like, just got to get through another month of this work and kind of get that marathon, you kind of got a means to an end where, you know, once you've got it done, you got a real good recovery period compared to, say, 10K or half marathon where the recovery, because the damage isn't as severe, you can sort of back up a lot quicker. But yeah, so this week was, the plan was to switch to the Wednesday and Sunday sessions with kind of a half, not even half, maybe a quarter workout on the Friday. Maybe not even a quarter, maybe even an eight. Just keeps dropping down. Confine this approach. With this approach, I can drop the mileage because you kind of miss out on that midweek long run.
Yeah.
That when the Wednesday session pops in, which is the day I'd normally do that midweek long run. Because I was really keen to keep the mileage high. So I added in another double. So I'm up to, this week I did five doubles. So Monday through to Friday were doubles. And then the focus on that Wednesday session is to push it out a bit longer, make it more marathon specific. And then also the long run becoming more specific, heading towards targeting that goal pace for the race. That focus of that is to really extend the ability to hit race pace for a longer period of time. And so I guess that's the purpose of that, the change in focus from the long run, just getting out and you know, enjoying a couple of hours with your mates, to having it a bit more or less conversations going on when you're sort of deep into a 35, 36K run and you're trying to hold that goal pace. But along with that, though, you got to really recognize that the toll it takes on your body is pretty severe, because it is a high load, and both physiologically and mentally. Because I know
mentally is almost I find these sessions, they're really tested mentally, being able to concentrate for that long.
Yep, and I also find coming off them as well, like the next day, sometimes it's almost like a post race sort of down patch, a bit of a blue patch off a race, and sometimes you feel a bit of a lull, and it's sort of harder to get out because all. I don't know. I have found it a bit harder to get out on those runs. Like I still ticked them off fine. And usually once I've laced up and got out the door, I'm all good. But sometimes, the motivation's a little bit lacking. Whereas I know, say, the Saturday night, like I was pumped for the Sunday long run the next day. I was really up and about and up and about for the Sunday run. But then, say, it comes to Monday and you're like, oh, I'm just a bit tired and a bit fatigued and not as motivated.
And now you're doing five morning runs. Is it five morning runs? That can sort of take its toll on you as well.
That's 100%. And that's I was tempted to do another double on the Saturday, but I didn't. I just thought I'll jog out in the morning and then take the rest of the day off and and just enjoy the day. Yeah, and so really made an emphasis on those recovery runs of slowing them down, trying to speed them up. And then just because coming off the Sunday, you know, 36 to 38 Ks, whatever it might be, really want to focus on recovery so you can get to that Wednesday feeling good that you can hit a longer session and prevent that massive amount of fatigue from building up and reduce that risk of injury. So it was funny, I got a bit of a message group with some of the Ninja Track Club, and one of the stars in there who's also I've mentioned before being TikTok famous, Saka.
Yes.
Cobber.
Sensation.
He sent through a video. It was actually on Twitter. It was actually Eliud Kipchoge, and it was like a week of his training, and someone had gone out there and filmed it. And it was kind of his first week of sessions back from the Olympics.
Yeah.
And it was, he was doing mile reps and then some 400s and then, it showed him and the group heading off for an easy run, for a recovery run after, so that the afternoon after the session. And it was just an absolute shuffle. And it was like they still had the spring in the step. You could still see how springy as, but they were just going so slow. And it just, it was actually perfect timing. And I was definitely trying to, you try to emulate the form of, good runners. I was just trying to emulate the form of them hitting those easy runs.
I can't remember the episode number when we had Becky Wade on who traveled around
the
world studying running cultures, and she spent some time in East Africa, spent some time in Ethiopia, and she'd run with some of the best in the world, and she would often just say it was painfully slow the start of runs, but obviously things wound up. But even we've probably both of us between running friends have had people that have gone over and been in Kenya and done training camps, and they say the same thing. And it's so, they could start as slow as 6 minute Ks, 7 minutes.
We've got
people that run under 3 minute Ks. It's just insane.
It is. It's such a, almost a strange concept, but it does make sense when you look at it. When you look at the bigger picture and recognize what they're doing is just getting the blood flow through to the muscles so they can recover for the next day. I have found that my recovery runs have slowed down quite a bit, and just tried to make sure that they are that the focus is on that.
Do you look at your watch at all when you do a recovery run?
Yes, I do. Yep. Not all the time, but I do occasionally take a look and almost make sure that I'm not forcing it too much. It's actually more not trying to keep the pace up. It's more making sure I'm not going too fast.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure you just go out and run, don't you? You don't.
I almost have a game in my head now, and I kind of know if I'm in a good spot, probably physically and even mentally, when I can finish a run and just in my head go, I think that was 4:40s and it was, 4:38. So it was, and then there's days where I'm thinking, I feel like I'm ticking along here. And then I'll look at the watch at the end and it'll be, average a lot slower. And that's, it's neither here or there, but I find like when I'm in tune with my body and I'm just running and, if I'm with people, it doesn't matter. I'm just chatting away. I won't even look at it. Although the K-splits are automatically, I haven't turn them off. They do beep. I just resist the urge to look at them. Yeah. Or it's just a habit. I just don't have the habit of looking at it because the notification's gone off. But I do try to really go by feel on those easy days.
Well, I think what you say there about going with a group, since we've been able to get back with and run with a few other people, I've noticed that when I do, I don't look at it at all. Don't even think about it, don't even recognize it. But I find that if I am by myself, and I've got the same, I actually don't know how to turn my beeper off. I'm sure it's not that hard. I'll just let it go. Since I've got the watch. So every K it beeps over, and I don't check it all the time, but I do occasionally have a look and see that, and more just to make sure I'm keeping the pace easy. And sometimes have a look as well for heart rate when I wear the chest strap. So
yeah. I mean, in that group setting, you know, when you've got 3 or 4, 5 or 6 people in there, someone will inevitably, and this happens in the long run, will start to feel good and push along. And it's like, you know, like you tend to just follow who's, and it goes in waves. Someone will feel good for a bit, and then you sort of sit in, you know, not sit in, but the pace will get rolling. And then maybe collectively the group realizes, hey, we don't need to be going that quick. We slow down. It's always interesting, your dynamics of a pack, where any there's always, you know, you get a few of the half steppers or someone that always sort of has to get to the front and keep the pace on. I'm probably the other way. I'm probably, well, I think I've moved closer to, as I get fitter, I get a little bit more confident, I will move up towards, but I tend to sit off and rather don't like to dictate the pace, rather just let it be dictated to me. I think
I'm a bit the same than that.
I think Gemma might be, she likes to be on the front. Yeah. And I've got a few people in my group that like to get on the front.
Well, I know the only time that, well, not the only time, but I have noticed if, say, like the last 2 Sundays I've done a run with the group, you know, 20 or 30K with the group, and then I've got a session after it, I kind of get a little bit antsy because I'm probably a bit up and about, whereas the others might have had a session the day before and they're a bit more fatigued, whereas I'm a bit more fresh. And so I have found that I've been pushing the pace, and I don't think it's always well received sometimes.
that's an interesting. We'll chat a bit, because we both did Sunday sessions and we could talk about that. Because, yeah, there was a little bit of that on my end as well, knowing I had to get a workout done. But, yeah. Sorry, mate, back to you, back to where you were at.
I ended up that my Mondays, Tuesdays and Thursdays are all ending up around about 21Ks total for the day. So Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, 21K total, split over about an hour 35 to an hour 40. So I might do an hour in the morning and then 35 in the arvo, or 50 in the morning, 50 in the morning and then like 45 in the arvo, something like that. And they're just pretty much just recovery runs for those ones. And then the last few weeks, on 2 to 3 of the arvo runs, I've added some more clothes on just for a mild bit of heat adaptation. And it was funny that last week I did notice it was actually quite a hot day, a hot afternoon. It might have been the
Wednesday was hot.
It was Wednesday, it was hot. Yeah, maybe it was some Wednesday, and I went down and I'd done a session in the morning, and I chucked on a bit more of a bit more clothes that I would normally do. I'd normally just go a singlet, but I'd put like a singlet and a hat and a long sleeve top on, and I'd sort of put the sleeves over my arms and over my hands as well. So it's almost like you've got gloves on, because I know the wrist is a really good cooling mechanism in the wrist. So I covered that up and, just tried to get a little bit of heat adaptation there. And I noticed on this day, after 3 weeks of kind of doing it, that it actually didn't affect me as much as what it had the first time. Like, I remember the first time I did it, I felt like I was in a sauna, and it wasn't even that hot. Whereas 3 weeks later, I felt like there was a little bit of an increase in ability to cool the body down, whether I sweated more or what it was. But I was able to manage it a bit more. So I'll keep doing that and just trying to plan a little bit around the potential of Melbourne being hot, because you never know with Melbourne, it could be like hailing and 3 degrees.
Maybe probably a little bit, yeah. And do you think there's a little bit in it just from a almost a placebo effect of, I mean, it's not a placebo, but you're actually doing it, but knowing, you know, getting the start line, if it is a hotter day, you can at least think back and go, well, I have done some of this, I am prepared.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, more like a something you can be really positive about, saying, well, I'm prepared in these situations. These others might not have, and I'll take advantage of it. I'll keep doing that just for the arvo runs, not for any of the longer hour runs or.
Yeah, I think it's a fine line as to whether you need to go the full heat training method of
vertical.
And especially given the time of the day and we're in the same environment. I think the damage you can do, like trying to get you to, you know, it can really flatten if you start doing the workouts in the heat of the day to try and get these, you know, heat gains and climb size, it could put you back a fair bit.
Yeah, and that's what I've definitely noticed when I've done sessions in the heat, and yeah, the potential to cook here is I've found for myself is a lot higher. I know others work fine in the heat, but yeah, I do find it affects me a lot. And so, yeah, if I have to do a session in the heat, I'll do it in the heat, not because it's hot, because I want to get a heat adaptation. It's just that's what's planned, and I can't really adjust it, you know, based on life. So, yeah, but making sure that just doing a little bit around that sort of wearing a bit more clothes in the arvo. I'm not going to head out to a sauna or anything.
Yeah.
Or jump straight into a hot bath. I won't be doing any of that just because it's going to take too much time.
Yeah. It's also a risk versus reward, isn't it?
Exactly. Yep. And then, yeah, the Wednesday workout was a longer fartlek. And I extended it from the week before. So the week before I did 12 by 2 minutes on, 1 minute off. Or 1 minute float, sorry. This week I did 12 by 3 minutes on, 1 minute float. And so it was obviously 48 minutes there in total. And it was just making sure to run at a controlled high intensity. So more like 10K to half marathon pace. So around 310 to 320-ish pace for the ons. And the float's about 340 to 345. So, we talk about, you know, about doing mono fartlek or DDK fartlek, or you did the MD fartlek, I think it was last week. They're 20 minute long. This is 48 minutes. So you can't go out and try to hammer it sort of 5K, 3K pace for those ons, because it's just going to, you might be able to get through it, but you're probably not going to pull up very well and be able to back up for the Sunday session. Mm. So I ended up averaging 321 for the whole session. Cool. So I was happy with the overall, how it felt. The average pace was around about what I was hoping for from that session. And yeah, it was kind of getting into a pretty good groove in those 3 minute ons. So I put the alpha flies on and I went out to the cool stores, which has got a few little rolling hills.
Yeah, nice.
And so I think it was about 80 meters maybe in total. So not a huge elevation, but there's a couple of sections there where they do have some little pinching hills. And so really needed to try to just keep the effort controlled and just really look at it as time on legs at a bit of intensity, and yeah, not to do the session too quick and risk that overtraining effect from it.
Having those little rolling hills, you know, small hills, just allows you to breaks it up and does simulate that racing feeling where you might have a small hill to climb up, or someone feels good in the pack and you get rolling a little bit, or there's paces, just that pace change. I think, you know, this session is obviously perfect for, and then the way you're coming off those floats, like if you, you know, being able to hold the floats there and then just go back onto the pace and continually do that, it shows how strong you are.
I've never done a fart like that length before, actually. I've done sort of 30 to 36, but I've never pushed one out that far. And so I was happy with, how I recovered off it as well, and got out the next couple of days pretty easy running and recovered. So the other thing I did it was I started the session at 6:30 in the morning. Yeah, so I did want to try to get a couple of runs in earlier, it's not like I woke up early and had a piece of toast and banana and stuff that I would do, say, before a race, but I did want to get out slightly earlier than what I normally would to get the session done, because I know the start time for the marathon's 6 o'clock, and like never do I get out and start doing the session. You can plan everything around it, but you hit your run, your workouts at either 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. or 4 or 5 o'clock at night. You never get out there at 6 o'clock. So I wanted to try to simulate that a little bit and get out for the morning. And I was surprised at how quickly I woke up and felt pretty good for the session.
Yeah, it's something I think in the coming weeks, I'll start to look at as well, is that morning. Just assessing how I'm going to go about getting up, racing at that time. But that's a cracking workout though, Matt.
And then on the Friday, just did, and the week before I did 30-second surges. So this week I changed it to doing 6x10-second hill strides in the morning 60-minute run, 50 or 60-minute run, I think it was. Yeah, just to keep a little bit of speed in the legs throughout the week. Because, yeah, that Wednesday workout, you know, like the fastest sort of patch of 3 minutes is probably around 3:10-ish, just nothing under 3:10. So I wanted to make sure to get a bit of leg turnover into the week. So Drop that in the Friday with the hill strides. And then on Sunday was a long run workout. So I started with the group and we did a lot of groups. So it was a good group, actually. We had quite a few of us there, and some were doing sort of 80 minutes and some were doing 90 minutes. Some were doing 2.5 hours. So had a bit of a variety there. And I just did 20K with the group and then switched my shoes to the Next Percent and then did a 10K progression. So it was starting with 98% goal marathon pace for 5K. And then straight into 5K at 100% marathon pace. And so hit the 98%. So they were just under 3:35. And then the 100% just under 3:25.
Cool.
And so, yeah, hit. And I had Gemma on the bike too. So that was good. So it was like, it was a bit windy actually on Sunday. And it was.
So you going over the same route as part of your long run or?
No. So we on the long run, it was, yeah, out at Patterson River. We go out on the gravels for the 20K and then come back on the asphalt. There's like a horseshoe shaped. Where you've done a session before.
Yeah,
it's like a horseshoe shape and it's sort of like, it's almost 2.5K to sort of the top of the horseshoe.
And then
you come back 2.5K. So it's sort of 2.5K into a headwind and then 2.5K with the tailwind and then turn and go back the other way. So got that then into 1K float, so 10K progression, then 1K float, then 2x2K at just quicker than sort of goal marathon pace. So around 3:15-ish. I was hoping for around 3:15, but I just, you never know how the body's going to feel. So
yeah,
like I'm hitting that at 31K getting into then the 2.2K. So you know, after 30K, you never know what the body's going to feel like.
Yeah.
And trying to kick it down off that. So the legs are feeling pretty fatigued, but I got out to sort of 3:17 to 3:18 for the K splits for that with a 1K float in the middle. And the float was sort of, I did back that off a little bit more than probably would normally. So I backed it off to about just under 4 minute K pace and then made sure that those 2Ks were kept pretty honest. And so, yeah, that was a bit of a build from the previous week. Aim was really, I guess that last 2K rep, I really wanted to get to that point feeling like I wanted to stop, mentally and physically tired, but then just teaching the body that you can still, don't panic and you can still push on. So that was, I guess, the main aim for that Sunday.
Did you take a gel at any point?
Yeah, I did this. So I had, I didn't have any, actually I had an Allen snake before. I think a red one. Because they're fast. like, do the colours have a difference? No, they don't. And then I had a goo when I changed my shoes. So sort of an hour 28 into the run, I think it was, to change the shoes, something like that.
No coffee in the morning?
Oh, yeah, and a black coffee.
Black coffee.
So, and then total was just over 4 minute Ks then a warm down for 8 minutes.
Yeah, okay. So it's a big, big day. So just around out to 37K.
Yeah, 37.7. Yeah, because I did the 8 minute warm down at 4:03 average pace. But there was obviously a couple of stops in there with your changing shoes. So
that's a fantastic workout at the end of the to get rolling like you did. And it's I think that progression really does start to simulate that feeling which you're going to cop later in a race. And I think it's showing you what you can do if you can start to get down to those paces at late in the session, and in 30K in the legs, it's the strengths are there and you've got the turnover. It's good signs.
Yeah, and that's what, like, having that confidence that you can kick, that you can finish strong. Like most of the marathons I've done, I haven't really finished that strong. I've sort of dropped off a little bit at sort of 35-ish K. So yeah, I really wanted to start really dialing in and focusing on, you know, that deep into the marathon, being able to have the confidence to be able to kick on. And that was, yeah, I guess that was a good getting close to simulating it without actually doing a marathon.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, we're similar sort of little bit of similar idea around this, our Sundays, both of us. And was there any, were you able to try and practice that, any of the mental tricks in that last, you know, 3K or even the 2Ks where, like you said, you just wanted to get to the end. But yeah, I think trying to will yourself there, was there some things you had to start to use again?
Yeah, I think so, because I had Gemma on the bike, that was definitely pretty helpful, because my breathing started, especially in those last 2x2K, breathing started getting real labored, and she just kept telling me to relax the breathing, and that really helped.
Yeah.
And then she was mentioning things like, you know, you can see the G. Like, you know, you're not far away, you can see the G. And then she was like saying, you're going through the tunnel. And so I guess use that mental imagery and focus on that. And
no, I think that's great. Like I use similar in my session. I started to just try and picture parts of the race and how I would be, where I would be on the course. I think that's a really good way to do it. Just starts to, I think you can then in the race day start to then go back and almost reverse it and, you know, start to feel like, oh, this is just out here on the Sunday. This just feels like I did in that Sunday session, which I nailed. So you can almost detach yourself back from that when race day comes.
Yeah, on race day, think back to those moments. Like, I've done this before. I've done it in training and it worked well. I could do it again. Yep, going confident. And so I ended up with 167K for the week. So just a little bit, little bit more than the week before. A few more K.
So, that's got to be up there for you in the last, when was the last time you were above 165?
Yeah, for 2017 maybe, I reckon, potentially. Because I don't think, because the last time I did Melbourne Marathon in 2019, I reckon I maxed out at about 150K. I don't think I went any higher than that. So it's been a long time since.
Yeah, but I mean, looking at the mileage at the blue bars or the skyscrapers there, it's a real wall of consistency pretty much from May, it's just been week on week with those 100 Ks into the 110 hundreds, so it's been a really good progressive build. Got it down pat at the moment. How are you feeling sleepy wise and heat? Sleeping well?
Yeah, sleeping. Oh, actually I had a bit of a, this week wasn't as good as what it was, like, in the past few weeks, but then, I don't know. Last week was pretty good. So, I haven't, mostly all right, I would say. Not ideal. I'm never really an amazing sleeper, though. I get to sleep easy, but then I wake up, 1-2 o'clock, and then you feel like you're awake for, 3 hours. It's so annoying. Just can't get back to sleep. It's like you're wired
for
some random reason. But, and then the eating, haven't stopped.
Noticing now that I'm up with the mileage. You're just constantly kind of hungry and eating and grazing. And, it's super important to keep topping up through the day. And, it is one of the perks of doing a lot of Ks.
Just to get a chance to just consume whatever. I just dug into a Carmen's double dark choc with Belgium chocolate.
Yeah.
Usually about 10 grams per bar of protein. So
nice.
It should fuel me a little bit for the Arvo run. How about you, mate? You had another good week.
Yeah, so I was in the same boat as you, and we obviously spoke about this last week. It's starting to move our session days around. So I was also going to Wednesday, Sunday. That same, I really got to, utilising that combination of the long run and the session on the Sunday. And then, banking a lot of Ks, a lot of trying to get that mileage up around the other days, and then that another session on Wednesday. So I doubled on Monday and then just had the one run on Tuesday, into knowing that Wednesday was quite big. And it's, I think with this, when you've got these two big workouts, like you sort of mentioned, Mattress, you, some of those runs, the easy runs, yeah, you can feel a little bit flat on, or just you're just sort of just cruising them along, and then knowing that you kind of got something big coming. And yeah, that's what was Wednesday was about. So I had a kind of a ladder session, a 5K, 4K, 3K, 2K, 1K, and then plan was to have a float, 1K float between the 5 and the 4 and the 4 and the 3, and then 500 meter floats for between the 3 and the 2 and the 2 and the 1. And yeah, going to this session, because it was pretty warm, got out at 5:30. It was a really nice Melbourne day. Like, the sun was out and I was out along the Yarra, so it was packed along the banks, because we were still in we're just at the a few days out from the restrictions lifting, but so it was, no one was able to get in the pub, everyone could just have a picnic on the Yarra, which I was warming up going, Jesus, that looks like a good spot to be. But I was probably, this session tested me in terms of having to deal with a few stomach cramps. And I got through the first 5K. I felt pretty comfortable in that one. Took first K to kind of lock in, and then was able to start to get in onto the pace. Like, wanted to hit that at marathon pace. And then sort of the last K of the 4K rep, I started to sort of have some, and I'd had bits and pieces of that feeling in the 5K, a couple of cramps come through, and it's like, just relax. And sometimes the tension around the session can come into play, maybe, or your body's just sort of not feeling it. I don't know if I didn't drink enough throughout the day, that could have been a factor as well. And by the most of the the 4K rep, stomach was just churning, and it didn't really, usually I'm sort of focused on the pace. It was a distraction, because I was sort of thinking, oh, do I need to stop here? And then I'd sort of feel good for a K, and then I'd start to feel it again. And that was kind of, it was distracting me from the pace, and the pace was actually okay. But then, by the end of that fourth, I thought, no, I'm actually going to have to stop here. And I can't remember the last time I've actually had a pit stop in a workout. So I just thought, if I don't, this session's gonna really not be fun. I decided, I'm just gonna have to. And then it just took me a little while to get going after that into the 3K. And then once I was sort of up and going again, the 2K came out a lot more solid. I was trying to aim to get to that sort of 3:10 pace, and was able to sort of hold that for the 2K. And then, the last K, because you're coming off that 500 float, and it's, I think because you're coming down, you sort of expect that you'll be able to just really kick it down, but you've also got 17 Ks in the legs, pretty much going to that, so 16 plus Ks. So that last K, I couldn't really push on like I would have liked to, but it was probably indicative of, having the Ks in the legs. And it's just one of those workouts where, I think I was in control, but it wasn't as smooth as I would have liked. But look, a really good one to get in the bank. And 3:27s for the 18K. I think, probably the gains from kind of working through that mentally is probably what I got from that one.
Yeah, still. Like, a lot how you, like, you opened up at marathon pace, and then do you still manage to get quicker? And that's going to extend that ability at marathon pace for longer, which is what you want. So I reckon that was still having the stomach issues, but you still work through them and finish the session off, and that's what counts. So, and also, like, you never know on race day. We always like to say, we plan around anything. You know, your guts might be a bit off, and you're like, no, I've done this before and I've finished strong. So, touch wood, hopefully you don't have to stop for a stop, but you've done it in training. And then, if it happens in a race, then you you've worked through it and finished strong. So yeah, I can still take it.
Yeah.
It was hot that day too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was hot. And manager finished. Actually, Lavinia Nixon was out there doing the weather, and I ran past in the cool was down.
Did you give her a wave?
Well, I had the Run PB top on, so I was trying to get in the background just to try. But at that point, I was in a cool down. I was gone. Like, I'm trundling my way back. It was a long session. Like, by the time you have your warm-up, warm down in there, and I didn't start till later. So I think because I actually parked at Al's down in Richmond. So I jogged there, jogged over there, and then got back to the car. And it was like 7:30. So, because I thought about going in. My keys were at his place, in his front area. And I was like, I'll knock on the door. And I was like, he's probably having dinner. So I got myself home. But, yeah, big session to knock off on a Wednesday. And then, like you mentioned, yeah, not having that long run, back into easy running on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, knowing that Sunday was going to be a challenging workout. I had planned to do, L45. And then change shoes into marathon pace for 25 minutes. It's when you're doing that hour 45 beforehand, like I had the same feeling on Saturday. I didn't feel like I knew I was coming into almost not a race, but you're feeling like you've got something big ahead and you're up for it. But you're also a bit nervous about it because I haven't done that long hour 45 then into 25 minutes of pace, and just see, it was going to always going to be a test to see how the body would respond to that. But I've done a lot of had a good probably month at 2 hours, then 2:10s, 2:15s. So hour 45 now is actually quite manageable. I feel like I finish it, and I'll sort of even, a few people who were on the run were sort of joking about, it's been a long walk. And I was trying to think of it as an extended warm-up as opposed to the 20, the usual 20-minute warm-up. I just got towards the last 10 minutes of that run and was like, okay, this just feels like how I should feel finishing my warm-up. And I'd almost forgotten that I'd done an hour and a half beforehand. Obviously, the legs didn't, but I was just trying to trick myself by going back to the car, changing shoes. I took a gel on board. I didn't actually take it until a little bit later. I was almost just trying to,
regroup.
Get what I'd done and regroup and,
yeah,
just, clean slate. Kept the watch going. I mean, I paused it, but then got going again. So it wasn't like I completely started from scratch, but the leg could definitely feel it when I did try to take off. I did about a half. I did a stride and then jogged from the car park up onto the Ivanhoe Boulevard. And it's a decent steep sort of hill just to get out from the car park up onto the boulevard, and sort of jogging up there. And then, it was pretty much straight into it. And there's a few rolling hills, and I probably, in hindsight, would have, if I look at this session, variations of it that I'll do over the next 4 or 5 weeks, we need something, because the goal is really to get out and do it at right on the marathon pacing, be consistent. But I couldn't really get into that rhythm because I had a couple little hills to get up and over. And I think if I look at the splits, I just,
it looks like 3:45, but you had a 20-meter climb.
Okay.
If that was the whole, because you did an hour 45, whether that included, the part of the jog in that though.
Yeah, part of the jog's in that. So almost once it hit, once it went over 24, maybe at 25K, I might have sort of more focused that was the start of it. It was almost like, get through this little section. And then, it was couldn't get the rhythm because I'd sort of get into a nice groove and then heel and keep the intensity on, but the pace would obviously drop back. I did hit some traffic. Like, earlier on when it was a bit wetter and colder, I thought, this will be good because there won't be many bikes out and there won't be many cars. But by the time I started, the sun was actually out and it was quite nice. And there was a bit of activity on there. So I then got forced onto the footpath for a bit, and I was just sort of jumping to and from the road to the footpath. I just couldn't get my rhythm going out. Misjudged my loop. I thought I'd be able to get to the end of the boulevard, turn around and get it in time, but I ended up having to go a bit further up on the footpath and a bit up a hill. And then I sort of got to that point, took a gel, turned and then got rolling. And I guess the advantage of that second half, I just started to feel good across on the legs, and didn't look like I knew I was going well. And then I looked down and I was like, I'm running 3:26, this is about 29K, running that mid 3:20s. And then there's a bit of a drop there. I think K30 was like 3:15, but you do come down a hill. And that's when I sort of really felt like I was actually running better at that pace, the 3:20s. So I just went with it, knowing that, a few of the earlier Ks were a little bit slower. It wasn't as smooth as I would have liked in terms of that workout, where I was able to just, I probably wanted to run hour 45 and then straight onto a 3:25s and 3:30s, but probably didn't pan out that way. Just the nature of the loop.
Yeah, the loop obviously wasn't ideal for that. Just looking at looking at your map, it's like you can see straight up a hill.
Yeah, I don't know. I've driven a lot.
4 or 5% gradient at times.
Yeah, I reckon I underestimated what it's like going on that loop. And in my head, as I was going out, I said, okay, let's just reframe this to focus on effort and on also about how it's going to feel. And it's sort of part of the Melbourne Marathon course, the tan section. I kind of thought this is a good spot to practice that, because you do have a climb there at the Melbourne Marathon. You also got a section where you drop back down and you go down the hill. So it's also important to be able to running, coming off those hills and running strong down them as well, and how that feels on the body. You're coming off a 3:15, then you've gone at 3:30s. Like there's a lot of change there, and seeing how the body responds to that. It was funny because I felt like the last 3K I got rolling and was sort of almost like, I want to keep going. And then the session was finishing. And so I don't know if it was just my mind playing tricks on me, thinking, well, you only ran some 3:30s in there, 3:38s. Maybe that wasn't as hard as it should be. But I think I'll find out over the next few days as well as to how much it's banged up the legs. But I actually pulled up pretty good from it.
Yeah, that's good, because I like nearly 33K in 2 hours 15, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you chucked in a little
Yeah, just jogged there. For the, less than 5 minutes on the way back.
Yep. No, that's a good. And that's like the first kind of long run session you've done for a while now since the Gold Coast. So I reckon it's a good one to start with, and I reckon you can bounce off that for sure.
Yeah, and look, given that Wednesday was a long one as well in there, so I think it's two big sort of marathon style workouts, I'll do a bit more of a combo one this week where I'll go a bit quicker than marathon pace part of the session. Good to tick off the week though. 147K,
yep, maybe. Nice.
Yeah.
147K. And look at that for your last average for the last 4 weeks, 145. So you've put in a good consistent 4 weeks there. And I mean, plus the rest of the build from pretty much from August there, or even.
Yeah. I mean, last week kind of had that absorption week. It was mileage wise was still up. But it was, a little bit less in terms of the bigger sessions, knowing that, the next few weeks, I'll probably scheduled to go to 155, 160 in terms of mileage for a couple of weeks, and then a down week into the half.
Nice. Exciting times.
Are you thinking race in the next 3-4 weeks, or have you how are you going to schedule in that we'll talk about some races that are on the calendar in a second, but have you considered it?
I've considered that half. I'm not 100% sold yet, but now the races are back up, it's kind of because I take advantage. I'm a little bit concerned about Sandy Point being too close.
Yeah.
Especially to have a really hard hit out for the, even for the 10K. Because I think it's 2 weeks out. 2 weeks, yeah. Mm. 2 weeks before Melbourne would Sandy Point be. So unless you do it a bit more as a progression run or something, that's another possibility. But yeah, the other one would be the Sri Chimnoy that you're talking about, the November 7th. That's probably not a bad timing for a half actually leading into Melbourne. So yeah, I'm definitely open to it, but I haven't made any decisions.
Nice one. In terms of races, yeah, it's been, like we're just going to go on to about the amount of events on there, but there's still a few people getting around and getting in, finishing off some virtual time. The City, the Surf in Sydney had their virtual, and Sherelle Thompson actually went around. She ran a 6-minute PP. So massive run from Sherelle. So she's actually coached by Madeline Heiner. So, yeah, great run from Sherelle. And, these virtuals, I think they'll still have a place, but I think we're starting to see a few of these round out coming into the new year.
Absolutely. And then we also had Adrian, another Mads as athletes, who had went out for to have a crack over the half marathon, and his PB was 102 minutes and he's come in with 93 minutes tucker, and he's run this along the St Kilda foreshore, so a huge PB there.
Mads has gone out and paced into a 10-minute PB.
Yep. Yeah. How good's that? Must have been absolutely pumped with that run. That's awesome.
Now, that's a great run from Adrian. I think obviously he's been super consistent. He's popped up a few times on the podcast with some of particularly during COVID, lack of races. He's just obviously kept things going, and then to go out and do that over the half. That's a huge run from him. We had another time trial that went down with Steph Hannon, one of Soph Fitz athletes, 30-second PB for 10K, 47:27. So, got to take that. That's a 30-second PB over 10K is a great run.
Yeah, I'm in a time trial situation too. So, lining up in a race potentially. To knock some more time off that. But that's, an incredible effort.
Yeah, well, like we just touched on those events, like there's a jam-packed calendar like left with between trail runs. We were having a look at it before. Obviously, we'd mentioned the Sri Chimnoy at Yarra Boulevard on November 7. I'm down for the half. But there's Run Forest. So there's trail runs. There's the trail series in Sylvan, Macedon trail run, roller coaster run. So it's just loaded at the back end of the year with these events that have had to shuffle it around. And the Sandy Point half, which you touched on, November 28. You got Surf Coast Century, so the ultra runners, down the Surf Coast. And then we are close to the Melbourne Marathon. So that's early December. And then, just obviously December 11 and 12 is the Melbourne Marathon weekend. But also even an event down your way, mate, the Portsea Twilight.
Yeah, January 8th.
Back on.
Yep, back on. It's good to see.
So a lot of events for people to get excited about and get involved. And one of those events that we've featured last week on the show, and I got an opportunity to actually chat to the organizer, which was Jordan O'Neill from O2 Events, and also the charity partner, which is Beyond Blue, which was Zareen from she's a fundraising manager. And I had a chat to them about the 2xU wellness run, which is on December the 5th. Beautiful location down in St Kilda. I've registered for the 10K. I'll go around it, use it as my like final tune-up, not all out, but just jog around. That'll be a week out from Melbourne. But yeah, there's still spots available. They're filling up fast. So yeah, match site, good to hear about this event. And yeah, it's the first running event that Jordan's put on. And yeah, such a worthy and sort of cause that obviously in the last 12 to 18 months has really come to the fore, mental health.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, around that, so that COVID time's been, yeah, such a good, like the Beyond Blue is yeah, such a good organisation, and really looking forward to see how the wellness run goes. And yeah, let's cross across to the interview now.
This week on the Better With Running podcast, I'm delighted to be joined by Jordan O'Neill from O2 Events and Zareen Sayed from Beyond Blue to chat about an exciting event that is coming to Melbourne in December, the 2xU Wellness Run. Welcome to the show, Jordan and Zareen.
Hi.
G'day, Zach. How are you going?
How are we both going? We're recording this on a Friday in Melbourne, and it's our sort of freedom day. And, how are you both going?
Yeah, the vibe's palpable, isn't it, since they started to announce. So yeah, and that obviously ripples into the plan, event planning. So I'm going well, and Zareen?
Yeah, it's an exciting day for us. Our head office for Beyond Blue is based in Melbourne, and so almost everyone is working in Melbourne or some part of Victoria. So yeah, absolutely a big sigh of relief, and really excited to take advantage of what this end of lockdown means.
For sure. Wanted to get you both on the show. Obviously, we're really excited at Runs PB and the Better With Running podcast family about this event. Obviously, the reopening of Melbourne and events back on the calendar. And I think I'll start with you, Jordan. Just your company, O2 Events, stages a lot of your events include the 2xU Triathlon, Alpine Classic, Great Ocean Road, Otway Classic. I can go on for a while, but there's quite a few events that you obviously have put on before. And you know, it goes without saying, the last few years been a really tough journey for this sector. But I know when you reached out to we connected back in August, and you had a vision for this event. Do you want to sort of share that vision with the listeners and also the connection to Beyond Blue?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having us, Zach. And yeah, it's great to work with you guys. I think we were introduced by a mutual friend who was actually getting some coaching. Trev, shout out to Trev, and he's still loving his program. So O2 Events is a couple of years old and was sort of born out of a bit of a disbandment of Fairfax Events when they were bought by Channel 9. Kane, Oslo, and myself set ourselves up, and it grew pretty quickly, which has been really awesome. We've actually loved getting out of the corporate scene and just running our own race. And what had been largely triathlon and cycling, but that's not to say we hadn't worked with running events before. So there was a bit of a gap in what we wanted to deliver, and certainly working with Beyond Blue on the 2xU Triathlon series, and also a good long-term friend Sam Walker internally there had us, you know, sort of brainstorming about what perhaps could be a come one, come all fun run, really simple to understand. And raise some money for Beyond Blue, which obviously the week in, week out during the pandemic on the news, you were seeing Beyond Blue's number put up for offering support. And so it felt like a good time to try and put something together. And then there was a fortunate date and venue available with City of Port Phillip that we work really closely with. And so it was tick, 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 a bunch of meetings with Zareen and Sam and Katie from Beyond Blue. And we had just a really simple to understand 5-10 half marathon, all ages, all genders, perhaps trying to speak to not your normal event attendee. So not, under the banner of racing, performance, results, more under the banner of, personal achievement, training, for your own wellness, and certainly, while you do it, perhaps share a fundraising page for Beyond Blue and see if we can get some money together. And it's been awesome, the reception and feedback. And we're really starting to see it ramp up in terms of the daily signups, the daily fundraising. So it seems to have hit the right mark, and we're wrapped to deliver this come December 5th.
Fantastic. No, you've done a great job building this event. And I think we've noticed, and we've spoken about this on the podcast, that just, you know, with gyms being closed and a lot of people have just started to get into running. And, you know, and it's been an outlet for them, obviously, in lockdown, and the mental health benefits of running have sort of coming to the fore. Zareen, can you tell us about your role at Beyond Blue, your fundraising manager, and also what an event like the Two Times You Wellness Run can do for the wider community in regards to, obviously, helping Beyond Blue and mental health.
Yeah. So I'm really lucky to be in a position where I get to liaise with amazing people in the community that either are personally affected by mental health or know someone who is and want to be able to make a difference. At Beyond Blue, fundraising has been kind of the heart of our organization for the last 20 years because it's been our direct connection to community. And my team in particular look after around 2,000 fundraisers a year all across Australia. On top of those fundraisers, we've got easily around 3,000 each year who are just participating in fitness-related challenges, whether it is a triathlon or a fun run. We've got people all across the country that, because of Beyond Blue's amazing work that we do and the awareness of our resources in the community, we've got people all across the country who want to support us. But like many other charities, when the pandemic hit, we faced a huge blow, my area in particular. You know, our area is about in-person events. It's about having your morning teas. It's about organizing fun runs. And to have that completely wiped out in March 2020, we saw a huge hit to our bottom line, but also engagement with the community. We had so many people just reaching out saying that they felt like, you know, what can they do to give back and how can they continue their connection to mental health? So it's been really encouraging, obviously, with restrictions easing in Victoria and in a few other states that we've had these kind of in-person activities resume. But especially in, you know, and Jordan can touch on in the fun run and challenge space, some of these events have taken a really sizable hit in the last year. And so in that area in particular, I feel like across the country, we've only seen around a third of events resume in person. And those are largely in WA and Queensland. So when Jordan came to us, you know, in the winter to talk about this idea of the wellness run, it was something we were so excited by. Beyond Blue has not had an event that we are the headliner per se. We are lucky to be involved with a number of major challenge events, but as one of, you know, many top charities that are involved. And it just seems like a no-brainer that at this point we'd have an event where people are raising funds and awareness for mental health, but also doing something that we know has positive effects on their well-being, like taking part in running and physical activity. So yeah, we're really excited to be a part of this event. It's absolutely blown us away how the community's got on board in Melbourne. We have raised, Jordan probably knows too, over 70,000. We have, you know, over 1,700 people that have created fundraising pages. People are so excited about this new event. And it's invigorated my team and our fundraising team because we're just so excited to have this new event come on. And, you know, at the end of the day, what it comes down to is that money raised is going to fund our Beyond Blue 24/7 support service. So that's a counseling service that has obviously been used a lot in the last 18 months, but has always been a fixture of support for the Australian community. And we know that this kind of counseling support service is needed now more than ever. And by hopefully hitting our goal of 200,000 fundraised through the wellness run, we'll be able to help over 4,000 people access support to that support service. So fingers crossed we can hit that come December.
Yeah, I mean, that's this event I can see obviously becoming a regular fixture and something that each year that's going to continue to grow and grow. And yeah, I think you're spot on that to have Beyond Blue as a headline act. I think it's been something that's been waiting for a long time for this to happen. And I guess just touching on the last few years and where Beyond Blue's been in terms of the pandemic, have you got a snapshot of what are some of the ways people have been able to access these services? And, you know, has there been some innovation as well from Beyond Blue in terms of, all the changes that have sort of happened in our lives?
Yeah, for sure. We've been really lucky that as a leader kind of in the mental health space in the country that we were entrusted a number of months ago by the Commonwealth to set up what's called the Coronavirus Mental Wellbeing Support Service. So we have our dedicated 24/7 support service that's accessible for anyone experiencing anxiety, depression, and needing counseling. But we created this specific support service for people that are experiencing, you know, coronavirus and COVID-related stressors. It can be anything from finance, relationships, dealing with being a close contact, or dealing with having COVID themselves, or the anxiety of getting it, and also in recent times, the anxiety around vaccines. So this Coronavirus Mental Wellbeing Support Service was a new product that we put forward. It was thankfully funded by the Commonwealth, but it was something that our team, which is a feat to the agility that our team has, put it forward in 11 days. So it was a huge undertaking, thousands of resources online on the Coronavirus Mental Wellbeing website. And to band together the counselors to support this as well. This was a really huge undertaking, but it's been a really well-used resource in the community and something that people continue to turn to even as we're kind of in this holding stage with the pandemic. But we've also seen, an increase in the number of web chats that we've had, email contacts. We've extended our web chat hours because people sometimes feel more comfortable messaging in that way. We've really tried to be more innovative with the resources we're putting to people as well. In recent times, we've put out little tips and guides on social media in terms of how to have simple conversations to check in with mates, how to reintegrate after lockdowns are ending. These are all really unique resources and guides that, you know, you wouldn't have thought of 18 months ago. But we're constantly seeing the need and the appeal of these resources.
It's what I noticed. I had a on your Beyond Blue socials, the amount of, it's sort of quite specific, you know, very targeted in certain areas. And you know, it's just not a blanket approach. There's so many different areas of mental health that we obviously cover. And you know, whether it's from workplace, transitioning back to workplace, and you know, like you mentioned, just even tips easing out of lockdown. And it's that's a fantastic resources that are on the Beyond Blue channels. Jordan, just going back to the event, I want to just talk about event day and what that's going to look like. I know it's at the Kentani Gardens down in St Kilda, so a beautiful location. Do you want to talk us through the course you've mapped out as well?
So we used to deliver, we use this stretch of road very commonly for the 2x U triathlon series, and full credit to 2x U jumping in again on another project. They just continue to sort of front up with grassroots participation, and then also a ripping t-shirt for all runners on the day for wellness run. So St Kilda Kentani Gardens at the end of Fitzroy Street there is the event hub, and then it's a 10 kilometer loop, and we just use that one loop to do a 10 and a half marathon first thing in the morning that kicks off at 7:30 a.m. So the reason we push off both those distances together is so the very fastest can get to the front, and then and those that want to go at their own pace aren't going to be sort of impeded later by people running through them and all the rest of it. So it works quite well to send them off together at 7:30. The 21.1 half marathon will continue for a second lap. And then later in the morning, a 5 kilometer short course that'll go off at 9:30. And you know, that'll see a whole range of, you know, walkers, strollers, you know, runners. And it's really, already we can see a real breadth of ages and experience levels that, you know, it's pretty exciting to see some people who, like you say, have probably been running for the first time. My mum's actually going to take part. She's not a normal runner.
I caught her
breaking into some strides between her normal walk. So it's actually good to see people go outside of their normal comfort zone. And I think we'll see plenty of that at the event. Later and last thing in the morning is a 1 kilometer under 12 loop of the venue, and that's at 10:45 a.m. And so that is a good chance to bring the family along and for everyone to have a distance. It all wrapped up for about midday, but we've already seen some companies start to purchase some marquee and barbecue space, use it as a bit of an end of year, get people out from behind the computers and come together. So We were a few nervous thoughts perhaps 2 months ago when it's starting to, you know, a few people start to come in. But, you know, there's about 30 people, we're in excess of 30 people signing up each day. And there was about $3,000, $4,000 of fundraising yesterday alone. So the pace of both is really cranking up. And so we should have a really good event day. Really safe, open, wide venue for those that are cautious coming out of COVID. We can't really speak with too much certainty whether it'll be a entirely vaccinated field at this point, but I think reading the tea leaves, it's pretty possible. But there's plenty of space, and it won't be a bottleneck venue to make anyone feel uncomfortable, certainly as one of the first events kicking off the summer.
Yeah, and I think what I like about this event is obviously, like we touched on, new people, getting into running, maybe this is their first event. It's you're really sort of promoting quite a community sort of feel to it. It's not intimidating. It's not like one of the massive fun runs where, you know, you've really got a chance to just, you know, in that open space. And, you know, I like, you've got the finishers medals, you know, you've also got, some really good support lined up for on the course. So you got water and electrolyte on course as well for
the it's an interesting time of year, late November, December. You can have a cold one, you can have a really hot one, but it's all pretty early in the morning, so we can be confident that, you know, heat hasn't been an issue in the past or overexertion, because we've always got eyes on the participants. And and then there's the opportunity to obviously just stop and rest, and it's not the pressure of a race or anything. So, no, it should be a great start to December for everyone that signed up.
Fantastic, and you've hit like you mentioned, you've already hit about 70K, targeting 200. What's the best way for people to get colleagues involved and start to raise money, and is that through? Through the website, you start a fundraising.
Yeah. So just wellnessrun.com.au. And from there, if you've got a group and you think you're going to have more than four people, we'll take your word for it. And you set up a group and email us at info@o2events.com.au, and we'll apply a 10% discount, group discount to your group. And you also get a group fundraising page. So any individuals within your group, it all combines into one total, and you can really wear that as a badge of pride. And we're already seeing a lot of teams raise significant funds. But then just individuals, friends and family and whatnot, signing up, and you get your own individual fundraising page. And then it's just so common to see on Instagram and Facebook people sharing, hey guys, I'm training for this. They start tagging the event in some stories and you know, their Stravas and whatnot. And then people are just, there's a lot of goodwill out there in the community, it seems, just happy to tip in and support people who are keeping themselves active. And also when they see that it has a bit of a tangible result, you know, that phrase that Zareen mentioned, that it goes towards the support services, you know, so propping up, you know, phone, web chat, all these sort of tangible support streams, you go, hey, that's great. Here's some fundraising. And like I said, the pace is looking really good. And, you know, not to jinx it, but we really hope we can get to that sort of 200K for Beyond Blue.
Yeah. And another thing on that is a lot of people participating in events, they might be nervous or feel like, oh, it's awkward to ask for donations or to fundraise. I think the best thing that we can offer on our end is that when people sign up to create their fundraising page, they're going to get supportive emails along the way with tips and guides and resources. We have dedicated coordinators that are ready via email and phone to answer people's questions. But it's also really something that has touched everyone's lives. Mental health has been such a huge part of everyone's experience over the last 18 months. So as awkward as it might be to ask someone to shout you, you know, a coffee or $20, it also makes a lot of sense because people can relate to what you're going through and the cause that you're supporting. So as much as it might seem daunting, I'd encourage you to, you know, to take it on, because you can actually open up a lot of amazing conversations with people as well as they share their mental health journeys in support of yours as well.
Yeah, I think you've nailed that there. I was just going to mention, on the Beyond Blue website, it's got a few stats on there, and one of them is around, yeah, the over 3 million people in Australia experience depression or anxiety. So, you know, everyone has a connection to it. So I think this event, definitely gives an opportunity for people to support this cause.
It's adding weight to what you were saying there. It's interesting. We've just had an optional box to fill in while you're registering about why you're running. And then we're nearly a couple of thousand runners of the there's over 70% have responded, and some people getting quite opening up quite a lot. It's exactly what we're all talking about. You know, this is something for me, but also this is something that I'm really wanting to motivate those around me in my network to help Beyond Blue, and it's a great vehicle for that. It's fortunate that, you know, restrictions, everything, it's easing at the right time, that we are looking, you know, very more and more certain for a great event day, and that we will be able to sort of come together and achieve something quite unique for Beyond Blue.
100%. Yeah. So we'll have all the details in our show links on the Run to BB. We're obviously promoting the event, so there's a lot on our channels as well. Further details are in for Beyond Blue specifically. You want to just maybe touch on the best way people can get in touch?
Yeah. So if it's anything fundraising related, you can send us an email at fundraising@beyondblue.org.au. But as always, we have our 24/7 support service that's accessible for people, and that's 1-300-224-636. Or you can visit beyondblue.org.au and get support to start a web chat or to send us an email. We're there to answer any of those questions and concerns.
Fantastic. Thank you both for jumping on. I know we're really excited here to obviously chat about it. And it's getting closer. So hopefully, this prods a few people to sign up and get involved. Thanks again for all your hard work, both of you. It's fantastic to see an event like this being planned and being executed in December.
Thanks, Zach. You've been great.
Thank you.